Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Mem Hei, and we're holding still on the bottom of Mem Dalet Amud Beit. And what we have over there is another mimer from Ivu. Remember, we had brought a number of different issues from Ivu, and the different, we're talking about Shemitah again, and the different types of Iruye Luni, Yikumi Ilani, and things like that. And let's get back. There's another story over here of Ivo, which has nothing to do with anything that we've spoken about until now. And that is Omer Ivo Mishum Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok Al Yalech Adam Barvei Shabbatot Yoter Mishalosh Parsaot. That a person should not walk more than three parsaot on an Erev Shabbos. And he might come without time to have his Shabbos ready for Shabbos. He'll come so late. So because of that, he's not going to arrive. Rashi learns this next maimer, Amr of Kanala Amran, Ella Labete. This is only talking about where he's coming home. And over there could be that the family doesn't know that he's coming. And because of that, he's going to rely on the family. But the family is not going to be ready. And therefore, he's going to be furious. And that's not exactly the right way to get into Shabbos. If it's a question of coming to somebody else, he's going to a hotel or whatever, where they're not serving meals. So over there, of course, he realizes that nobody may prepare for him. So he brings his own food, and that's not a problem. To say that what Rav Kana says, well, nitzchela afilu lebeisin. It's true, even if you're going to one's home. So you would think that, okay, I mean, over there, something or other, the guy's going to find him. I mean, after all, it's his house. There's got to be something in the fridge. And this is for sure, even to your home, if you're going somewhere else, for sure that's included. So in other words, the issue is that we're not going to rely on you to bring your own stuff along. And Omer Rav Kana, look, I got to tell you, once happened to me that I arrived very late and I traveled till the last minute on Friday. And when I got there, I found out that I literally did not have one thing to eat. And I didn't even find like the kasdar sandwich, in our terms, a little bit of herring or something, or some sardines. I couldn't even find that. Anyway, mitzvah lulav ketzah. Now, getting back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah started talking about how we're mekayim the mitzvah lulav when the first day of Yontiv falls out on Shabbos. We're talking about bizman shebeis hamikdash kayam. And therefore, we said that everybody brings their lulav before Shabbos, hands them over to the Chazonim, and the Chazonim put them underneath the roof of the Itztabaot. There were these stadium seating, it's called Itztabaot, which were covered by a little roof that protected them from the sun. And others point out that Lamaisa, the everything was made out of stone, and therefore it would have kept the Lulavim cool. So this Tana came along and he was telling over the Mishnah into Rav Nachman, and the language that he used, instead of saying Agav Itztaba, was Sodran Agaga Itztaba, that he put them on the roof that was on top of the benches, which Rav Nachman said to him, that's nuts. Why would somebody do such a thing? V'chili Yafshanu Tzarech, what are we trying to do? We're trying to preserve our lulavim by drying them out or something? That would be useless. A lulav ayovish would be posel. The correct language in the Mishnah is al-gava itztaba. It's on top of the bench, not on top of the roof. Omer chova omer of Yehuda. Har Habayit, style kaful haya. So it had stadium seatings, one row within the next row. And that was double. Stawa lefnim mistawa. Okay, we're ready for our word from the Kapitan. Shavua tov, dear Kapitan.
Shavua tov, one and all. Zot heleka mishnah.
So moving on now to the mitzvah of Arava, which we saw was quite complex. It had quite a number of different issues, and we're going to even introduce some more. So mitzvah Arava ketzah. How exactly did they do the mitzvah of Arava in the Beis HaMikdash? So there was a mokom ayalamatim Yerushalayim v'nikra Motza. There was this place that was on in the valley near Yerushalayim, and it was called Motza, and then they would send people from Bezdin, Yordim L'Sham. So you had the Shluchei Bezdin would go down to Motza, and Malaketim, they would go and collect these murbiot shel arava, these beautiful tall branches of arava, and then they would come back, hand them over to the Kohanim, and the Kohanim, we saw that this was a mitzvah on the Kohanim, and the Kohanim would put them around the Mizbeach, on the sides, the tops of these large aravot branches would bend over the top of the Mizbeach, and when they would do this, they would blow the shofar. The Rambam learns that this, apparently, that this is the same Tkiya, Trua Tkiya, that we have with the Nisuch HaMayim, so that he times the coming, the doing the Zekifa of the Kohanim with the actual Nisuch HaMayim. Rashi later on seems to learn that they were just bringing the Mayim at that time, so that this is a different Tkiya, and it would only be going according to one sheet, as we'll see later on. V'cho yom mekifin et ha-mizbeach pa'am echad, v'omrim ona Hashem oshiyana, ona Hashem atzlichana. So every day during the first 6 days, they would say, they would go around the Mizbeach once. Now we saw already before that when it says go around the Mizbeach, it was not clear whether we were going around the Mizbeach with the Lulavim or we were going around the Mizbeach with the Aravas. And we'll get back to that in a minute. But in any event, first 6 days, they went around only one time and they would sing the Onah Hashem Hoshiyana like we do. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ani v'ho hoshiyana. What they would say was, Ani v'ho, v'otu ayom ha-kifin et ha-mizbeach sheva pa'amim. On that day, which was Hoshana Rabbah, on the seventh day, they would go around the Mizbeach seven times. And now the question is what the correct gears is. As you know, this is a big issue. Ooh, I forgot to set up the recording. This is a big issue, as you'll see in the different Sidurim and in the Lashon of the Mishnah. Some of the Mishnayos have Ani Vahu with an Aleph, I and he, and others have the Girsa Ani Vahu without an Aleph at the end. Now, Rashi has the Girsa of the Ani Vahu. So what he explains, and this is a very, very harsh Rashi, a famous Rashi, that actually the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the 72, remember we have a 72-letter shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that consists of three letters repeated in different sequences from the Pasuk, as I'll explain in a minute, and each one of those three letters combinations from the Psukim ends up being another separate element of the Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what he does is he says, look, you have to take the three psukim back in Bishalach, where we have Vayisa, Malach, Elokim, Olech, Lifnei, Machaneo, and so on and so forth. And then we have the Vayisa, Mudanan, Mipneyem, Vayamod, Achreyem, Vayavo, Bimachan, Mitzrayim, Bimachan, Yisrael. And then we have the last pasuk, and that is the Vayolach, Hashem, Meruach, Yam, Azah, Kol HaLayla, and so on and so forth. What we do is we take the first letter of the first pasuk, the last letter of the middle pasuk, and the first letter of the last pasuk. So if we look at it that way, so then we end up with one of those combinations is the ani, and the other one is the shem, which is the vav hey vav, and that's vaho. Now, why in the world would we take such a thing? So this would be because, as Tosus explains over here, we want to be merames, not just that on our shemoshiana of ourselves, but because it says in the pasuk va'ani betoch hagola, and it says in Yirmiyo v'hu asur bezikim. So what we learn from there is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself kevayachol is stuck in prison in the gola. And therefore, when we say you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be Moshiach, the Tsar of the Shechina itself. And therefore, instead of saying Ana Hashem Moshiach, which makes it a reference to ourselves, we say Ani Vaho Shechina in a reference to those two psukim. Now, the Mashma'ut is in the Yerushalmi. I don't know really what the Mokar is, that the Mishnayos in the Yerushalmi are different than the Mishnayos in the Bavli. But all of the various shitas that say it should be Ani Vahu, quote, including the Maaser Vitri, which is very much halacha l'maaseh in terms of tefillah, say ani vahu, not ani vaho. And it's not a reference to the shame over here that Rashi brings. It's rather the reference to the pasuk directly. This is the 37th shame that Rashi brings. It comes out of the pasuk. Is the 37th shame is the ani. So he puts together both of these, the ani vaho. Pashtas from the Ma'aser Vitri that is quoting the Mishnah in Yerushalmi, it says ani vahu, and that's a direct reference to the pasuk. One of the first pasuk from Yechezkel, the second pasuk from Yirmiyahu. And it's a reference, again, to the same idea, but not to this particular shame. Okay. Obviously, there's much to speak about this, because we're talking about Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't think that this is the place to speak about it. But this would be the Machlokes. And we actually, as you know, in the various to Shiras that we sing together with the Hoshanas, we mention both of these. So, Ono Hashem Hoshiana, and then we have the Ani Vaho Hoshiana, and some have Ani Vahu, and we're Miyachid them for the Kofas on Hoshana Rabbah. So, there's an obvious connection over here to the six times once and one times seven of Yericho. And in fact, in the Yerushalmi, it actually says that this is the same as the Inyan of Yericho. So what particularly that issue is, there's a lot of discussion about the way that Yericho is called Man'ula Shel Eretz Yisrael. It was considered to be the lock and the main approach of Eretz Yisrael. There's even an amazing medrash that says that Yericho was it's rumors in the Posseh, through the Aderet Shin'ar, we identify with the Pagam of Achan, we identify with Shin'ar, meaning Bavel. And that the Aderet Shin'ar, the Medrash brings, that was a reference to a palace that was made by Melech Bavel, and he made this in Yericho, and he had a governor in Yericho, and it was because of that they used to export the palms of Yericho. Yericho was Irat Morin. And it was because of that that Bavel became a place of Tzinisa de Bavel. It became a place in which they had the best palms. It actually, the mocker of those palms was in Yericho, Ir HaTmarim, specifically. So that means automatically, it's crazy, but automatically there is a relationship between the seven times of Yericho and Lulavim, of all crazy things, because that's the Ir HaTmarim. And we're going to see that there's even a Shita that the din of Arava is really not a din in Arava, it's a din of Palm. So, as was see Rabbi Yochanan Shita. Anyway, things get quite complex. And there's the Medrash says that if it hadn't been for the fact that we were Kevesh Yericho, then since Melech Bavel had his place there, we would never have been able to build the Beis HaMikdash, because the Mekor of the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash was Bavel, and that would have prevented it from being built. So there's also those who suggest that if it hadn't been for Chiel, Beit HaYeili, rebuilding Yericho, then there never would have been a Churban, because the rebuilding of the Yericho was a reconstruction of the Aderet Shin'ar that had been destroyed with the seven times we went around. In which case, it turns out that the Hakofa on Sukkah itself is the craziest thing. It's the final connection that we have so far of the whole issue of Sukkah to the Beis HaMikdash, which is what the beginning of the entire Masechet was. I mean, the whole thing now revolves around the Aveda of the Beis HaMikdash and so on and so forth, and Kayanim, and why it's Bedavka with Kayanim, and over here it needed to be the Kayanim, that would be Tekea, and they were the ones who put them on the side of the Mizbeach. This is really wild stuff, okay? We know that that the whole issue of the Tzadik, Atama Yifrach, and so on, and we're going to see, relates to these particular issues of Sukkot. So,
and we would relate, Rebbe, to the supplies for the Beis HaMikdash coming from Yericho, mm-hmm. Right? Achayhem are sitting in Yericho sending the...
Excellent. Beautiful. That's right. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent addition. B'sha'at p'tiratan mahim omrim. So when they completed this going around the seven times, so what would they say? They spoke to the Mizbeach, and they said, so beautiful to you, Mizbeach. Yofilecha, Mizbeach. All of this beauty that we're being Isaac in over here is all our sense of your beauty. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer Omer, they would say, Lecha ulecha mizbeach, Lecha ulecha mizbeach. They would say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to you. Now, this doesn't make much sense because we're not allowed to be Meshatef HaKadosh Baruch Hu with anything else. Well, the Gemara is going to ask this in a moment. Kema'aseo b'chol, kach ma'aseo b'shabbat, the same way that was done during the week, that is the way that it was done on Shabbos, other than, of course, that on Shabbos we didn't bring the Arovah, so you malakim otom mi'be'erev, they would do it on Erev Shabbos. And then to keep them fresh, menichin otom b'gigiyot shel zahav, they would put them in these large containers, barrel-like containers that were made out of gold, and they were filled with water in order that the arovah shouldn't dry out overnight. G'day shelo yichmoshu. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka omer, actually, chariot shel dekel ayu mavi'im. I don't know what this stuff is of the arovah. Now, that's not clear. We're going to see later on machlok is about what the mokar is of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. But one approach is that indeed he did not have the Kabbalah of the halakha l'bashmitzinah of Arava, didn't hold of Abashol, and that instead he held that we actually brought palm. So we brought palm branches, which is back again to the Yirat Morim, and relates to, that would mean that there would be a relationship between the circling of the Mizbeach and the things that we put up against the Mizbeach, right? That sounds like it's obvious, but it isn't obvious. Because the question is, if what it is that we're doing when we go around the Mizbeach, we had this machlokas earlier, if that's done with the lulav, and this is done with the arava, so then what would be the connection between the two? As a matter of fact, the Rambam doesn't see any connection between the two. He paskins that the sivuv of the Mizbeach was done with lulavim, and as you know, there are minhagim that some people actually go around the Mizbeach with aravas, not with the lulavim. So, I mean, it would make a tremendous nafkamina lahalacha, because the question is, if you paskin that the hakafa is ba'arava, so then that would mean that we would not do Hoshanas, because we don't have an Arava except on the last day. We would only do Hoshana Rabbah. And in fact, there actually is a Shita like that. That's the Orzerua Shita, that we only do the Hakofas Habima on the seventh day, because we do it with an Arava. Now, there are others who argue, obviously. So even though, say, the Rosh brings the Orchas HaChayim, that in fact, there is a mitzvah of Hakofa Ba'arava, but there's also a mitzvah to take along the lulav. And therefore, we do both. Now, sometimes you, Dafka shouldn't do both. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that nowadays, we put a Sefer Torah on the Bima, we go around it every day, and on the last day we do seven times. And even if you don't have a lulav, you would be makif, because not necessarily was that kafa done in the Mizbeach that had anything to do with the lulav. Whereas the Ramah Paskin, somebody who doesn't have a lulav does not walk around. Because of that, on Shabbos, those who go like the Ramah, if you don't, since there's no lulav, there's no din of Hashanahs, of walking around, because the walking around is done specifically with the lulav. Now, the question is, that even the Shulchan Aruch brings it, there are some who say that on the seventh day we go around with a lulav and not with an arav. And he says that's not the minhag. The minhag is to go both with the lulav and with the arav. So the question is, I mean, it's true that the Mishnah Berurah brings it, there's a minhag like that, to go both with the lulav and with the arav, so that way you're yotzei boshitas, those who hold that the hakafa was done with the lulav, and those who hold that the hakafa was done with the arav. However, l'maisa the Ramah paskins that it's better not to mix the arava with the lulav. You can go around if you want once with one and once with the other. Do not take the arava with the lulav. Now, there are those who say that if you take an arava together with the lulav, so then you're being mosif, because since we paskin that lulav enot tzarech eged, so then you're being mosif more than you should have of the aravas, and therefore you're going to be over on baltosif. So you bedavka should be very careful not to take them together. In fact, many people are very makbid, like it'll say in the Siddur, in the Ashkenaz Siddur, menichim et halulav venotlim et ha'arava. That way you don't get involved in that issue of holding them both at the same time. Okay, so far, that is the issue that we've seen. Now, what is not clear is the Zakifa. How does the Zakifa fit into things? So basically, I mean, what the Rambam brings is, as opposed to what Rashi says that at the end of, you first do the Netilah, because we end up paskening that you're supposed to be Neitel Beyad. And that's the Chovit Chovit, which according to Rashi means wave and wave. The Rambam brings that Ketzad Aita Mitzvata, B'cho Yom V'yom Yishiva Sayomim O'yu Mevi'im Murbiot Shel Arava, V'zokfim Otan Al Tzidei HaMizbeach V'roshem K'fufim Agav HaMizbeach. Now listen to this. U'ba'im Ha'am V'lokhim Mimena V'notlim Otan. So in other words, the Rambam learns that the Murbiot Shel Arava were put first around the Mizbeach. Then they were the Murbiot that people could take and use to go around, either around with or to do the Chavotah with. So that means that it's exact opposite of Rashi. As Rashi says, first they take the Arava, the Menanea the Arava, and then you put these Murbiot. Now there's an amazing Briskerov on this sugya. So because he learns that the Machlokas is like this. According to Rashi, the zekifa of the murbiot is an etzem chelek of the mitzvah of arava. And so because of that, the ikr mitzvah is the arava itself. So fine, so first you're not the arava, obviously. And then there's this additional thing that is very nice in terms of the yofi lecha mizbeach that you put around the things around the mizbeach. And it's like the gemara mitzvah of the yofi lecha mizbeach. The Rambam, listen to this. The Rambam holds that the zekifa of the murbiot has nothing to do with the mitzvah of the arava. It's just a getter of what we do for the yofi of the mizbeach. But the mitzvah, as we've already seen, is not to bring aravas and wave them around or bang them on the ground in the Beis HaMikdash. The mitzvah is to take the arava that is the arava of the Beis HaMikdash. What makes something an arava of the Mikdash? The zekifa. So when we take the murbios, we're maskifit on the mizbeach, that makes it the arava that is kosher for whatever you're going to do with the arava, you see? So according to him, obviously you have to do the zekifa first, because otherwise you won't have a shame arava shel mikdash on the arava, so you won't be yotze. So in other words, this ties in directly into the question of who's supposed to be doing this. If it's an aveda of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's an issue that is defined by the Beis HaMikdash. So even if you're going to tell me that it isn't only on Kohanim, fine, but it's still only on the Arava of the Mikdash. Memelo, you have to do the Zekifa originally. So it's a very, very complex issue over here, because it turns out there's three completely different issues. We have, I mean, even four, because, I mean, we have the Netila or the Chavata. So that's sort of, one thing. But, I mean, really, Netila, which according to Rashi would mean shaking the Arava, being Minanea the Arava, Chavata Sa'arava, Zekifa of the Murbias, and then the Hakafa of the Mizbeach. And the question is whether the Hakafa of the Mizbeach is Bechuber to the other issues at all. So you could see the nafkamina that all of this would make in terms of the various minhagim of what it is that we do. So, as I said, one of the most complex sugyas here is the working out what exactly Arava is halacha lemaisa, what the minhag hanaviim was, how it relates to the original chiyuv, and whether we're following this as halacha lemaisa miSinai, as minhag naviim, yesod naviim, and the machlokas about what it is that you actually use for this extremely, extremely unclear and different approaches between the various rishonim. And as I said, it's a very mysterious thing. I mean, that's why it was something that was never explained. And it has to do with the whole getter of Midas Hadin and Aravas being Keneged Rishayim, that in Lelotam, Valoreach, and they bring the Posek, Saviv Rishayim Yisalachu, Kerum Zulut of Ne'adam. That's the Saviv of the Mizbeach, of the Aravas particularly, which is a Keach Hadin to prevent the Rishayim from being Shailed on us. That's part of the Yericho issue, in which Yericho seven times was connected to Sheva Amamim, who are themselves considered to be the main mafter to the Shivim Amim, which are the Seine Yisrael. And all of this has to do with the Knesset HaMikdash and the original Bakasha of Adam for Geshamim and for relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore becomes part of the whole Sukkah, Ruach HaKadosh, and various inyonim of Kabbalah that come out so strongly in the Ushpizin and the Midas, each one of which is Niskala every single day, connected one of those Hakafas on Mizbeach, which then becomes Shiva, which is the Malchus that's Kailal, the various Midas altogether. As you can see, this is hot stuff. Okay. So anyway, going on, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says that actually they would bring palm branches, v'choftim otan bekarka, b'tzidei ha-mizbeach. No, over here it's chovit says beferish on the karka. So the way Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is learning, so for sure the getter of chovit would mean to actually bang them on the ground. So as I said, it's sort of a question as to whether Rashi would agree that over here that everybody understands chibud as banging, or maybe he would explain this otherwise. That's not clear. But the issue of whether this means instead of the Arava on each of the days, or whether it means in addition to the Arava on the seventh day, but that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is moded to Arava, as Tosfos suggests, according to one of the shitas of the Mokra of the Sfara of Rabbi Yochanan, that we'll see. So, Oto Ayom, according to him, they called that day not Yom Arava, they called it Chibut Chariot, the day that you beat the lulav branches on the ground. Now, there's two different ways of reading this. Rashi reads it that the grown-ups would grab the lulavim out of the hands of the kids and eat up their lulav and eat up their esrogim. It's just like really wild. Dosha says that's nutty. It should be that miyad, instantly, meaning as soon as they were finished all of these mitzvahs, the kids would throw their lulavim away and would eat their esrogim. But Rashi brings a riot to his pshat from a story in the Medrash. That's in the Medrash. That's also a crazy story. So the Medrash has this story about a chassid who gave money to an ani during Sukkot, and his wife was giving him hell. We don't have any money. What are you giving your money away to the aniim? And throws him out of the house. Anyway, the poor guy doesn't have anything to eat. He's completely desolate. So what he does is he, at the last day of Sukkot, he grabs the esrogim from all of the kids, right? And then he takes these esrogim and he goes into business trying to sell esrogim. Now, all of a sudden, it turns out that there was an emergency need for esrogim by the Malchus because there was some cancer cure was supposed to be made only of esrogim, and the king's daughter needed these esrogim. Anyway, they paid him $1 million for all the esrogim that he gathered. And of course, he came back completely, a prince dressed in the greatest, all of this because of the esrogim. But as Rashi sees it, because of that, it must be that they would take the esrogim from the kids. Obviously, he didn't eat all that esrogim, but he kept the esrogim to go into business. Wild story. Tosis doesn't seem to worry too much about the story in the Medrash. In any event, the question over here would be, because how are you allowed to just go around stealing poor kids' esrogim? Right? So Rashi says, there's no problem in stealing because since this became the minhag, it was all for fun. And all for fun, when people acknowledge that they're getting into something for fun, then it's understood that everybody is mevater on their monetary. Now, this, of course, is very much against the we sue for all things in the U.S. and so on. But Tosis brings that you cannot sue if things are being done for fun. Okay, so he brings an example. He says, how about at a wedding when everybody's dancing around, right? And one guy ends up tearing somebody else's clothing or kicking him or injuring him. You can't sue because since it's all for fun. So something that's done for simcha, you don't have a right to sue on. The very fact that you were willing to get involved in such a thing means that you have surrendered your rights to sue. Now, that's unbelievable. I mean, can you imagine they didn't have to fill out a 25-page form and initial every single page to make it clear that they don't end up in court just because they were the Samea Chosim Mekala? I mean, it's absolutely a eye-opening, wild kind of thing. It must be because these were ancient days, you know. But anyway, this was the story. So, Tana, why is Motza called Motza? And some suggest that the correct pronunciation of Motza is not Motza at all, but Mutza. Mutza means excluded from. So why do they call it Motza? Makom Kilani Yahave. It was basically like a Roman colony, which meant that it did not have to pay the taxes that were incumbent on everybody else to pay. And it was potter because of that from taxes. So it was a tax-free zone. And they would be careful call it Motza. And well, that's what it was in the Brisa. So how do we get from that to Motza? Because it was Mutza. I did a matrik mikagad amalka. Since it was out of the tax area, kari le Mutza. It was removed from taxes. Tana. These aroves were rakot, some suggested should say were soft, or rabot, that there were many of them. The everybody's waited to the rest, and they were arukot. They were quite long, and they were gavohot achad esrei ama. They were 11 amos high in order to allow them to lean over the mizbeach. Kadeshia gochot al mizbeach ama. This is a remez to yirah shamayim, that a person is gochei, puts his head down. And therefore, this is all, of course, because we're talking about arovas, is kenegan midas hadin, the way that a person faces midas hadin. And therefore, it needed to be 11 amos high. Why does it need to be 11 amos high? As Mara says, you see from here, it's clear from here that the place of the Mizbeach that they would put these down on was not on the ground next to the Mizbeach, but it was on the Yesod of the Mizbeach itself. Because if you're going to tell me that you put it on the ground beyond the Yesod, then there's no way that it could be hanging down over the Mizbeach and Amma, because in order to be hanging down over the Mizbeach and Amma, it needed to be able to go up an Amma and then come down. Otherwise, it would have just been supported by the edge of the Mizbeach and would not have been able to bend at that level. It's not that elastic. So because of that, if you figure out how tall the Mizbeach was, remember, how did we make the Mizbeach? Well, we start from the ground, right? And then it goes up one Amma. Remember, it's talking about over there, the way in which they built a mold. And this mold was built one Amma high and then went in one Amma on all edges. And on top of that, it went up, they made another mold of five Ammas high, which then went in one Amma, and then they went another mold, which was three Ammas high, and that was the point in which they could put the Kronot HaMizbeach on the side, which means that it was nine Amot from the ground level to the top of the Mizbeach, upon which the Kronot HaMizbeach added another Amma. Now, if they were on the floor, then that means that you have to take into consideration the diagonal from the floor, which is all the way out, the Amma of the Yesod and the Amma of the Sovev, and it has to come up and also has to be able to go back down. There's no way it could do that if it was only 11 Amos, because if that's the case, how in the world could you possibly have had them leaning over the top of the Mizbeach? It doesn't make sense. So it must be, it's got to be that they were put on the Yesod, and because of that, they had that extra Amma that would come down. Shmamina, that indeed proves it. Amri Abi Abu, where do we get this idea from a pasuk? How exactly do we see that there's an inyan to do these, stick these things around the Mizbeach? Well, it says, Isru Chag Ba'avotim Ad Karnot HaMizbeach. Now, Isru Chag Ba'avotim, what does that mean? So this means Isru, like Osri La Geffen. It means to encircle something. So you encircle the Mizbeach on Yontav with these Egeds of Lulav. And it goes all the way up to the top, to the level of the Karnot HaMizbeach. So apparently they had these avotim, which are the various minim that are bound together. And since they go all the way up to where the Karnot HaMizbeach are, so then the Aravos have to also go up that high. Omer Rabbi Abba, Omer Rabbi Elazar. Kol HaNotel, there's another meaning to this pasuk. Kol HaNotel lulav be'igudo, v'hadas ba'avoto, so somebody who takes the lulav when it is mu'ugad, and there's a hadas that is properly made with avot, so that it's three leaves all the way up, it's as if this person built the mizbeach, and then he was makriv a korban on the mizbeach that he built. Because this is another understanding of the pasuk. Shene'emar, isru chag be'avotim, and then ad karnot hamizbeach. If you made the aguda shalulav together with the adasim, which are avot, then it's as if ad karnot hamizbeach, as if you put the matamdomim of the korbanos against the karnot hamizbeach. Om Rabbi Yirmiyahu Mishum, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Yochanan quotes Rabbi Shimon Amachuzi, who quotes Rabbi Yochanan Amakuti, kol ha'ose iser lechag b'achila v'shtiya, מעלה עליו הכתוב כאילו בונה מזבח וקריב על הקורבן, שנאמר, איסרו חג באבותים, so there's another understanding, surround this yontif with these animals that are big and fat and provide for you plenty of steak to eat, then עד קרנות המזבח, if you brought all of these as קורבנות on the מזבח, that's one approach. The other approach, as you know, is the yisod of what we call Isruchag. Isruchag be'avotim, if you have another day that you connect to the yontif in order to have achila v'shtia on the next day, so then that is as if you brought the korbanos. Omar chizki omer Rabbi Yirmiyahu Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, kol ha-mitzvot kulan in adam yotzei behem elach giderach gedilatam. All of these mitzvahs that have to do with things that grow from the earth, which would include, of course, building the Mishkan with the crushing of the Mishkan, taking a lulav, taking the esrog, taking the adasim, taking the arovas, they all have to be done, and the amudim of the Mishkan, they all have to have the wood or the branch or the fruit or whatever it is you're using has to be in the same direction from which it grew from the earth or grew on the tree. And you wouldn't be yotze if you hold it the other way. Where do we know it from? Again, from the Mishkan, because it says, Atse shitim omdim. Tanya nami achi, Atse shitim omdim, shomdim derech gedilatam. Yet another issue that we learn out from the Beis HaMikdash and the Binyan HaMishkan is how it is that you have to hold your lulav and esrog. That's unbelievable. So it's not only the sukkah that we learned out from there, but it's mamish, the mitzvah, and the tilas lulav. Okay, that's omdim derek dilatan, davar acher. Omdim means shema amidim et sipuyan. They are what stands, not the other thing. So in other words, even though the Torah said you're supposed to be covered, all of these krashim with gold, that does not mean that you cover them with gold by making these solid pieces of metallic gold that are now able to stand on their own and put them around the krashim. It means that you have thin layers of gold that are screwed in with golden screws into the krashim, is what it means. And therefore, they are ma'amidim et sipuyan. Davar acher, another issue that we learn is omdim. These things are there for good. Omedet la'at. And that is, you might think, Shema tomar avat sivram ubatel sikuyam. You might have thought that, you know, listen, the Mishkan, I mean, it was already hidden underneath the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It's probably hopeless. There's no future for all of this. And all of their original severs, like all of the original potential that was in them, has been lost. And everything that they ever hoped for and everything that they ever wanted is gone. It's ruined. Talmud lomar atse shidim omdim shomdim la'olam la'olam mim, that they maintain the godless of the Mishkan and the Kedusha, wherever they are, whatever matzav, they are there forever and will continue to provide for the Binyan HaShlishi. Another thing that Chizkiah said was that you should know that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said that he, now remember that we are in the middle of dealing with the issues that have to do with Arava and Midas Hadin. And so therefore we're quoting now this particular maimer that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, Yochol ani liftar et kol olam kulo min hadin. In my zechus, I would be able to pater the entire world from anything, any dinim that are going to come onto them. And this is, okay, the Pashtus is, I mean, elsewhere, Rashi says this has to do with Olam Haba, meaning not in Olam Hazeh, but miyom shenivreti adata, from the day that I was born until now. So I can definitely keep the world going all on my own. Now, I tell you, if Elazar Bini would join up with me in this, then we would be able to get rid of din from the time that the world was created until today. If I could get Yotam ben Uzziah with us, oh my God, then I would be able to potter the world forever. There would be no din at all. Why Yotam, Mordechai, this is for you and for your son over there, Yotam. So why is this? Because of the fact that Yotam was tremendously zeicha in kibud av, and he was machnia himself to such an extent of unbelievable anova that when Uzziah, his father, had to withdraw from the malchus because he was afflicted with saras through his own fault, and Yotam had to take over, as so long as his father was alive, Yotam never acted the part of the king, even though he had to do everything that Uzziah was doing. And people would come to him and they would ask for the din and they would ask for the intervention. He would always quote as if it's coming from his father. My father says this, my father says that. He would never put on a crown on his head or act the part of a king at all. If I could have him with us, that would cancel all of the dinim forever. That's what it takes, a little bit of anova and truth. I can tell you that Ra'iti b'nei aliyah vein mu'atim. There's very few people that are on a madrega that they literally are able to be in the presence of the Shekhinah. I don't know how many there are. If there's 1,000 of them, I'd be shocked. But if there's 1,000 of them, I guarantee you that me and my son are among that 1,000. If there's 100 of them, I'll guarantee you we're among that 100. If there's 2, then we're them. That I'm sure of. Wait, says the Gemara. There's only just so few people? Umizutra kulehai? Didn't Rava say that Tmani Yisrael? Now, this is amazing. As Rabbeinu Chananel points out, how are you asking from Rava on Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? Like, what does Rava know, right? So the point is that anything like this is obviously has to be a Kabbalah that Rava has from Deras HaKadma. You can't make up things like this, right? Nobody would have the chutzpah to say such a thing. So we're asking there from Rava, from a violator, because they had a Kabbalah. So obviously Rav Shimon Bar Yochai would have to explain what that means. So Rava said, Mani Srei Alfei Dara Havi Dekami Kutcher Brichu. There are 18,000 rows of tzaddikim that are oimed bifnei hashchina. So a question of whether there's 18,000 rows, and mashmots and Rashi is 18,000 people in a row. Shenemar saviv shmona asar elef. That's certainly more than 1,000. Lokashia, wait. Depends on the madrega you're talking about. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was talking about people who are mistako baspaklaria damira. Obviously, the Meira. Now, that's obviously not in Olam Hazeh, which is the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu, but the Espaklaria Meira means to see directly the Shekhinah as if it's through an absolutely clear glass. That's the metaphor that Chazal used for Moshe Rabbeinu's Madrega of Nevias. And that is what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was referring to. There's very few people who have that Madrega in Olam Haba. Rava was talking about people that are aimed b'fnei hashchina, but they don't see b'spaklaria meira. They see with the madrega of other neviim. And still, even the Mistakli Besbaklaria HaMe'ira, you're saying that the ones that are able to break in front of the Shechina, there's still like so few. If Abaya said there's at least Lo Pachot Alma, Mitlatin Veshita Tzadikim, there, this is where the famous, the Lamed Vav Tzadikim comes from. That there has to be 36 Tzadikim in the world who are Mekable Api Shechina B'kol Yom. They're Mekable Pnei Ashechina every single day. Shema Ashrei Kol, it says, Choche Lo. And that Ashrei, all those who await HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Lo, Begematria, it's taught in Veshita. So we see that there are 36. So what's he saying? Maybe there's only two. I mean, we see that there's definitely 36, right? So how could Reb Shimon Bar Yochai not address that Kabbalah of Abaye? Answers the Gemara, Lo Kasha. It's also referring to different levels. There may be those who are Omed Bifnei Ashchina and can be Mistakel directly. Some of them, however, are only allowed to come in Bifnei Ashchina by getting Rishus from the Malachim. And there are others, like Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who can walk straight in and no Malach can stop them and would ask them for their identity cards. So that's what Reb Shimon Bar Yochai said. I don't know how many can do that, but I guarantee you, me and my son can. And Bisha'at Petiratan Mayin Omrim, Yofilach Mizbeach, and so on. How are you allowed to do what Rebbe Eliezer said? Rebbe Eliezer says, Lekha Velach Mizbeach. But you're being Mishatev Shem Shamayim V'Dover Acher. And I thought it says in the brighter column, Mishatev Shem Shamayim V'Dover Acher, Ne'ekar Min Olam. Anybody who puts together the Shem Shamayim with other values is going to be uprooted from the entire world. Rav Neventzel points out that the Zionist prayer of Asher Mosu Nafsham, Al-Kedushas Hashem, Al-Kedushas Ha'am, Al-Kedushas Ha'oretz, is literally Mishatev Shem Shamayim B'Dover Acher. It makes the Kedushas Ha'oretz, the Kedushas Ha'am, the equivalent of Kedushas Hashem, and Chas V'Sholem is Ma'akir, all the people who say it from the Olam. And you feel it's a horrible thing when you hear it, but this the Gemara is mamish defining it, Bryce is defining it. Shenemar bilti la Hashem levado? Hochikama, no, hesitant. Rabbi Eliezer was talking about two completely different things. Not lekov lecha. Lekha anachnu modim. What is it that we are made? That lecha no mishapchim. About you, not to you. Lecha, about the Mizbeach. We have a lot of good things to say. Lekha anachnu modim. And as far as the Mizbeach is concerned, wow, we got amazing things to sing about. But obviously the Aveda and the Haidah was only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. K'ma'aseyu b'cho, kach ma'aseyu b'Shabbat. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka ended up saying that no, they would actually bring the Tmarim. And there would be Choriot. Om Ravuna, where does Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka get that from? He says it's the same thing as Abishol. Abishol got the idea of Aravas from Arve Nachal, right? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka got the idea of Tmarim from Kapot Tmarim. Why Kapot? One of them for the Lulav and one of them for the Mizbeach. Exactly the same thing that everybody's been quoting Abishol for. V'Rabbanan, they tied it, says Kapat. It doesn't say. It's written without the Vav. Therefore, you have no right to be Medayik that it means Loshen Rabbi. Rabbi Levi Omer, I hope this wasn't insulting to the Gabbai of the Rebbe who lives next to Abishol, but Abishol would be very tolerant, I'm sure. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka's approach. Rabbi Levi Omer, Kitamar, it's a Svara. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says that this is his own Svara to bring Tmarim, which says, okay, so then that doesn't mean it goes against the Arava, could mean together with the Arava. That just like the Tamar, Ein lo ela leiv echad, af Yisrael, ein lo ela leiv echad, la aviyem sheba shamayim. So just like we have this special concept of a tamar, which they actually sell as a food, right? The heart of the palm. The other trees don't have a heart. And the idea of the palm, it doesn't have, there's no knots in the wood. It just goes straight up. The branches come out from the outside, but you don't find that there's also a breakup of the internal structure of the tree. So there's only one leiv. In a tamar. Yisrael is the same way. They only have lev echad la'aviyem shabashamayim. Meanwhile, Hine El Yeshua Si Yeftach V'lo Yefchad, and we should be zecher to a week of Yeshua Hashem Kerev Ayin for all of Klal Yisrael and the breakdown of all of our incredible enemies all over. Kadosh Baruch Hu should be mevaser us with the destruction of all of our enemies. Bezrat Hashem.